You're listening to Cultivating Indigenous Voices on KXEI Tucson, a show hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. In this episode, I feature Josie Rios, artisan jeweler and founder of the Indigenous Market.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Josie. I am a member of the Akumeratam Gila River Indian Tribe. I was born and raised here in Tucson, Arizona. Grew up on the south side, just a few blocks from Pueblo High School. I have a small business called Beads Over Diamonds. So I make beaded jewelry, hair accessories, some things like that. And then I also host the Indigenous Market that happens at the Coalition just off of 4th Avenue.
Great. Thank you so much. So take us back a little bit. I know you've said you've been here all your life here in Tucson. What was Tucson like as a kid? Did you grow up in a certain neighborhood or anything like that?
Yeah, born and raised, have never left, just on vacations. But yeah, I grew up on 41st Street and Sunset Villa. My house, our backyard, pretty much was the freeway. Yeah, we could hear the cars go by at night. It was pretty intense sometimes. I just look back at some of the photos that I've recently come across, or even just driving around downtown, and I would be like, you know, that never used to be there. The wig place. And it always draws back to my mom, because my mom used to make wigs. So
really?
I used to love walking downtown and seeing the wigorama and be like, oh, my mom used to. She may have made a wig, you know, when I was little. I don't know if her wigs ever made it down there. But and then I miss the restaurant that was right next to it. Oh, my gosh. And they have pesto and tater tots. That was really good. I mean,
And then the Indian Center was right across.
Yeah, the Indian Center. Well, even before that. Before it became in that location, it was off, it's now like a hotel, but the Indian Center used to be there. I can't think of the name of the street.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in their parking lot, and they would have like dances there sometimes. I remember going.
Really?
As a youngster, I did sports, and my coach was Marlene Jose. So I actually learned how to bead at the Tucson Indian Center. I got in trouble as a little kid. And when I say little kid, I mean eighth grade. And part of kind of like the probation period, or like to get back on a right track, was to attend like counseling and community services. And it just so happened beading classes were starting at the Indian Center. And then after the lessons, they had like a group kind of counseling session. So I was able to put that as part of my rehabilitation, I guess you want to say.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I learned how to bead there, and I picked it up super quick, to the point where like I would sometimes help the person next to me if they missed a step. I'm like, oh no, you're supposed to, you know, go back through that bead or what, you know, whatever it was. So yeah, I got my beading started at Tucson Indian Center.
That's so cool. I mean, you started so young too.
Yeah, I mainly sold just to family and my mom's friends, because she used to work at a nursing home. Mm-hmm. So I would just sell to those people.
So you were showing entrepreneurship at an early age.
Yeah, I guess you could say. I never thought about that, but yeah.
Cool. Well, I mean, the wigorama, I have not thought of that in a long time, but I remember the colorful wigs in the window.
Yeah, they were always fun to see. And like I said, it just reminded my mom when I learned she made wigs. I just thought that was odd that she made wigs, and she would always talk about how tiny the holes or the needles that she had to use. And then I'm like, did you use real hair, like, you know, people hair? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, whoa.
Well, you don't hear that every day, like somebody, a wig maker.
Yeah.
With the work that you do today, what has that journey been like, from being that young kid learning how to bead? Did you ever have an idea or a thought of like, this is what I want to be or do when I grow up?
I mean, as a little kid, what's funny, I used to want to be a judge.
I could see you being a judge.
And that was just mainly to put the people who treated animals wrong, to make them pay. So I'm like, how can you leave your dog in the heat, in the car, and they, you know, they die? I'm like, but, you know, I was super little. And then, but beading, having a small business, it never even crossed my mind. My mom was a CNA, I was kind of good at that nursing stuff, because I would help take care of my grandma. Mm-hmm. And my mom, when she got sick, and everybody's like, oh, you have a knack for it. But that's not what I wanted to do. I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I went through a few jobs. I worked at the casino as a bingo caller. That was kind of fun. And then I left and went back into retail, which I've kind of still am in. But like I had make my way up to a store manager. And so I was taking care of a whole team, learning about profit, learning about how to spend your money, you know, so that you still have a profit and you can take care of your team. I learned how to create a team and just seeing how impactful that was, like making an impact in these people's, the team, their everyday life, because we did spend so much time, you know, with each other to see them grow, because a lot of them were really youngsters. It was like their first job. They're like 18.
Yeah.
So it was great to see these young people grow and learn how to be assertive or set boundaries. That's the new thing, setting boundaries.
Yes.
And then unfortunately, sometimes work environments can turn toxic, and that's what happened. And I just was no longer felt supported. I just, you know, I needed a change. So I left and I was like, I'm just going to take some time off. I had saved some money that I could kind of live on for a month.
Yeah.
So I took some time off, and then the folks at PopCycle had reached out and was like, hey, we're kind of hiring for the holidays. Do you want to come? And
did you already know them at PopCycle?
A little bit. They host a houseless drive in December on Christmas Eve, where they go out and they give food, clothing to the houseless. And my wife, she would volunteer with them. And so she introduced me to some of the people at PopCycle, and I met Dee Dee there, who's one of the owners. And then they had learned that I quit my retail job, and I was not necessarily looking, but I was like in the market.
Yeah.
And when they offered the first time, I was like, no, I didn't even answer because I thought it was fake. I was like, she doesn't know me.
You never know.
Why would she?
You were just being cautious.
Yeah. Like, then they offered again. They came back and I was like, you know what? I'm sick of being in the house. Even if it's just volunteering for the holidays, I'm just going to go for it. And yeah. And that was like 3 years ago, I believe. 3 or 4 years.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It started. Awesome. And then I wore some of my earrings that I had made, and they were like, hey, do you make jewelry? And I was like, mm-hmm. I do. And I started showing them. They're like, do you want to sell with us? Like, do you want to sell your products? And I hadn't still never thought about it. And I was maybe, because then that's, you know, some extra cash that's going to come in. And, and then it kind of just blew up from there. People.
Really?
Yeah.
So your stuff was selling there.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. So how long have you been? You said 3 years now?
I think it's about three. I think I just passed 3 years this summer.
Okay. Nice. Well, congrats on your 3 years there. You know, just with what you're doing, and your work is really awesome. I mean, I've seen it, and first, of course, just seeing you on social media, and then I think us actually meeting each other was at that Matriarch Mixer, right?
Right.
I don't think we've ever met before that, right?
I don't think so either.
Okay.
Because when I started doing the Indigenous Market, you know, that market was a way to help spotlight other artists, businesses, community care, whatever was there. I was like, how can I help spotlight the community, right? And so I remember seeing, I think you were at World Water Day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, Autumn Podcaster, I have to get them at my market. We got it. And I kept saying it, and I just never followed through with it. And then at the Matriarch Mixer, I was like, oh my God, that's her. the dots finally connected. I'm like, oh my gosh, you were right there the whole time and didn't even know.
Yeah, that was a really cool event to meet other young, or just women in general, doing baddie things.
Right. Like, I think sometimes we forget how powerful and strong we are as women. It was very, very, very cool to just like see it, I guess, in person and hear them talk and see all the things that they're doing. It's like, man, it motivated me. Like, okay, what else can I do too?
Yeah. It was just really good to see a lot of people that I knew, but also people I was familiar with, people that I know are really doing work in the community that included you, to just be in this space. Like, we probably all have heard or know or just even if we're barely meeting each other for the first time, we are aware of what's happening in the community. So that was really cool to see that in one place, like everybody there in one place.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was too funny. I was at one point when I was talking and I was introducing myself, I'm like, you know, I'm Josie and I do the Indigenous market. And somebody in the crowd was like, oh, that's her. And it was kind of like, maybe I don't even know if I could talk after that. Just like to see, I guess, the things I'm doing impact someone else. Yeah. I didn't realize the impact maybe until that night. I was and what's funny, I've heard of this person and I was like, oh my gosh, that's her too. You know, another amazing Indigenous woman making waves. So yeah.
Really awesome. Yeah. So yeah, but that's where the first place we actually met in person and, you know, kind of just helping organize, I guess, or bringing people together. Being a part of that was really cool, but also, you know, having the opportunity to then really meet you and others in person to kind of really connect us. And I think that was the whole purpose of that matriarch event too.
Yeah, definitely to connect and see what other aunties are doing out there.
Mm-hmm. Still getting used to being the auntie.
I know. Somebody
having that auntie status.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I'm old enough.
I know, right? God, we're not the young ones no more. Now we're just the aunties. So, you know, going back to your work, was that something that you kind of had always done as like as far as being in retail and doing your jewelry? Or was there any other part in life that was kind of like a where you did something totally different?
No, I've always kind of been in the retail customer service aspect of everything. Like I've always been in the front talking with people and I've always had to like flip a switch because I always say I'm not a people person, but I guess I have to stop saying that because I am. because anybody who wants to talk to me about like the market or just whatever, I'm always wanting to talk and spread the awareness, the info of everything. So yeah, I mean, the only thing that I could say that was different was working at the casino as a bingo caller, because all the attention was on me. As you know, we're calling the games or making announcements, you know, and I really had to go out and make the customers feel welcome. And they were, most of the players were amazing. They were like my, you know, grandma and grandpas, other aunties and uncles, cousins. Yeah. They were really fun, but at the same time, you know, there's another casino that has bingo, so you're competing to keep the customers. So that was always my game always had to be 100%. Yeah, that was probably the only thing different other than being in retail and things like that.
Okay. And so we talked about this in the beginning about your bingo calling voice. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't either, and I didn't know if it was something that I had to work on or what, but I guess it just came out naturally. Like, we had to talk really kind of like this, just slow, easy pace, making sure the customers felt calm. And I didn't know if I could keep doing that, but I guess I did. Nobody really, there wasn't, like, nobody wanted me to stop, so I guess I passed. I don't know, because you couldn't really hear your voice, and sometimes I'm thankful for that, because I hear my voice, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just your work is definitely impacting the community, whether you realize it or not, and it's making a huge impact. And even for folks that don't know you, people that follow your work, and I was one of the people that follow your work, and especially because doing what I do with, you know, storytelling, I'm always, there are certain people or organizations or groups that I tend to follow their work because of their commitment to the community. And that's what's my big thing, you know, that's what it's important. When you decided to create this type of community with the market, when and how did that idea, and why was that important for you to do?
So we're coming up on 2 years of the market being in the works, I guess you should say. But it started again. I had started my business, Beads Over Diamonds, and having little to nothing to get it started really made me think, because like I didn't have displays to put up on a table. I didn't even have a table to set up on to sell at markets, a tablecloth, nothing. I barely had the money to pay to get into these markets. And I'm like, wow, if I'm having trouble, there has to be so many other people having trouble.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at least I kind of had some mentors to help me, but still, I still struggled. I'm like, oh my gosh, again, if I'm having these troubles, someone else is, many people are. And sometimes when I would go to apply to these markets, they would tell me, oh, we already have a beater. And then when I go and see it's a white person, and I understand beating is not just indigenous, it is everywhere. However, when you have a white person beating and they're creating indigenous designs,
yeah,
that's where we take issue with. And then, you know, then it's just, or it's somebody selling stuff from Hobby Lobby or Temu. It would be things like that. And I'm like, no, there has to be another way. I mean, I was just getting turned down from market after market. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And maybe because I wasn't established yet. I mean, there could be so many factors, but I didn't understand why. So the folks that put on Made in Tucson, the 4th Ave Coalition, I was having a conversation with them one day. And they're like, well, we have Made in Tucson. So I applied for Made in Tucson, and I'm like, man, I don't really have, still don't have anything. And then even at PopCycle, to help me, they're like, we have a table, we have tablecloths, we can give you displays. So they let me, with another vendor, set up in front of their shop to sell one time. So like, they've been instrumental in helping me get all this stuff. But anyways, back to the conversation with Dave, it was like telling him how much trouble I was having. And they're like, I think they just had gotten the Coalition Community Center off of 7th Street. And they're like, hey, we have this place. How about you have your own market there? And you can decide what kind of market you have. And I'm like, well,
wow.
I want to showcase other indigenous people, because why not? Mm-hmm. And that's how that kind of happened. And then it was like, okay, having to pay for this space.
Yeah.
Is it going to come out of my pocket? And the Coalition is like, it's your first one. We'll sponsor that for you. Don't worry about it. We just want to help you and other indigenous artists get off the ground. Cool. Yeah, so that's how kind of that happened. And then it was like vendor fees. How much do I charge somebody? What if somebody doesn't have money, you know, like I did to sign up? And it was like I had to work with the folks of the Coalition. And so we were able to come up with a sliding scale from at least $5 to $30, and you could pay what you can. We've had people say, I have no money until I sell something. So we, you know, I've been like, okay, come to the market, give me a dollar when you make a sale. Just so there's like a little bit of a skin in the game type deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's what I offer, is a sliding scale of vendor fees.
And so when the idea came to you, did you immediately have that thought of like, this is what I want, because it's something you have thought about before being offered that, like kind of having a little dream of like, if this is the ideal situation of this is kind of what I would do, or how I would do things, or who I would reach out to?
No, I had no
really.
I had no idea what I was doing. Even though people are like, well, it looks like you do. Like, I mean, 2 years, six, seven markets down, I still don't know what I'm doing. But I had no idea. That first one, it was just so, it's kind of a blur now.
Mm-hmm.
The response was incredible. It was overwhelming that, you know, I put out a video because I'm like, nobody reads texts anymore. I'm like, let's make a video, because people are more inclined to watch a video than read.
Yeah.
I think like a long post or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I made the video. I made the call out to vendors, and it's always open. As long as you're an indigenous person, you can be part of the market, as long as we have room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I only have a small amount of room. I can do up to like 30, maybe 35 vendors if I really cram them in there. Everybody's just on top of each other. But yeah, so it's an open call to all the vendors. But yeah, it was just amazing how much people wanted to be a part of it and continue to still want to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I mean, it seems like it was definitely a need that we didn't even know we needed here in Tucson, you know, a space for Native Indigenous to showcase their work. Even if it's somebody's doing like two beaters, the work is different, right?
Definitely, yeah, because I've had people come up to me because I make beaded stuff, and there's always at least maybe 3 to 4 other beaters that are there. And mm-hmm. they're like, why would you do that to yourself? And I'm like, I'm not doing nothing to myself.
Yeah.
Because each beater has, we all bead differently. We have, mm-hmm. you know, some pray, some, yeah. You know, pray the whole time they're beading. Some just have a different style, a different vibe. And I think yeah. it does showcase, mm-hmm. even though we might have similar colors, mm-hmm. the vibe is always different.
Yeah. Or I agree with that too, because as a person who enjoys earrings and yeah, you know, I could be looking at a whole beater's collection and not really find anything, but the next beater, I could find exactly what I want or what I'm attracted to, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that, I think that's a good thing too, to have more variety.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you've literally built this small community of folks, you know?
I guess because I never really.
And you've brought people together and you've connected people and you've provided opportunity for the community, which is amazing. So what have you learned from all this that you've done so far? Like, what is your takeaway? What is the one impactful thing, if you can think of that, that you feel good about?
That what I've seen is we take care of each other. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, like taking care of other artists, like things will come up. I'll talk to other people in different businesses. They're like, oh, we're looking for a graphic designer, somebody to redo our website. And I'm like, hey, here's so-and-so. You should try them out. They want to paint some murals. Oh, here's so-and-so. Let's do that. And then in return, people, other art, the vendors or the artists, they have referred people to me for the market. Just even talk about it, you know, like, mm-hmm. and in the end, like I said, we take care of each other. Yeah. That's what I've seen, this community come together and support each other. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing, Josie. Thank you so much for sharing what you're doing and just for the work that you are doing right now in the community, the impacts that you are making. Another thing that I also see that has come out of you doing the Indigenous market is you've now being invited as a guest to be a part of certain things, certain events, whether it's a guest speaker or helping organize something like the Matriarch Mixer. I feel like, is that something that you've done before, like you were already doing as well, or has being a part of the Indigenous market and creating that or helping form that, people see you as more of like a leader or something like that, enough to want to have you to come and be a guest on whatever work that they're doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's new. That's something that happened. And I never thought about doing any of that. Helping host the Matriarch Mixer. And then I was invited to be a panelist on 10 West, a conference that happens here in Tucson. That was really cool to have people listen to my experience, because I just think my experience is no different or isn't a big deal, I guess. But after I talk about my experiences, people, it impacts them. I told a story and I didn't realize I told a story. But yeah, so helping host him, Matrix Mixer, I get to be the vendor liaison for Indigenous Peoples Day. That's from Alianza. Mm-hmm. It's happening October 13th at the Historic Kauai. So I get to be part of that. I didn't think so because I feel like I'm not an organized person, but organizing vendors and getting everything, I'm kind of good at. I found out. And somebody told me, was because you're a vendor yourself, so you have a little bit of expectations of what you want from the people. I'm like, oh, I guess I never thought about that either. Mm-hmm. It's just something I'm good at now.
Cool. So anything else that you would like to share before we close out this interview? Any shout outs that you have? Any last messages or things that you want to share to encourage the community as far as like with the work that you do or anything like that?
Just thank you to the community for constantly showing up. Because of you, I get to do what I do. Yeah, shout out to Miss Godin, who's an amazing DJ. Shout out to Angela from Body and Soul, who's actually been helping me the last few times. Always thank you to the 4th Ave Coalition, Pop Cycle, and we can't wait to see you at the next one.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Josie, for taking the time to be here with us at KXEI and for being a guest right here on Cultivating Indigenous Voices.
Hey, thank you.
You are tuned in to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXEI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew, featuring Josie Rios, artisan jeweler and founder of the Indigenous Market. To hear other episodes, go to kxei.org.